Saram, dear listeners, and welcome once again to Vahini Satsang, our series on the last leg of the day-long Thursday live programs. I'm Team Radio Sai Bishu, and along with me is Sai Prakash. Together we have been doing this beautiful endeavor to ruminate on Bhagwan's Vahinis. We started with Prema Vahini, and it's been more than 27 weeks since we started this series, and we have now come to chapter 10. Every time we take a few words, a few lines, and then the deliberations almost go on for an hour, and even then we feel that we have not done enough. And today Bhagwan has very graciously sent to the studios Mr. H. J. Bhagya, or as Bhagya sir, as is very endearingly called by all the students, someone who has guided and mentored generations of students who have stepped into the portals of Bhagwan's university. Someone who always emphasized that spiritual education is what will help you to become better in everything in life, including your secular education. Someone who was so convinced about this that he drilled it into the hearts and minds of every student who came on his way, who came in his ambit. Earlier, only the management students used to benefit from his lectures. Today, the university has offered him to take awareness classes for all the postgraduate students. So it is not only the students of the Department of Management Studies, but students pursuing the sciences, students pursuing masters in technology. Everyone listens to Sir's insights, his experiences, and his convictions about spirituality, about walking on the path that Swami has laid down for us, and how to walk on this path with conviction, with determination, with discipline. And it comes from a person who has walked on that path, and that's the reason why it always touches every heart. We're really grateful to Bhagwan that we have him here with us today. Welcome, sir, to Vahini Satsang one more time. So before we begin to listen to sir's experiences, dear listeners, the previous week we started the chapter 10. We discussed the segment, first two paragraphs, which we have classified under the segment 10.1. So we'll move on to 10.2. So I'll play now for you segment 10.2, and then we will listen to Sir's meditation on this segment.
ఎట్టి మహాత్ములకైనను కడకు అవతారములకైనను దూషణాక్షేపణలు తప్పలేదు. కారణమేమి? సత్యము దేనికి లొంగదు. సత్యము తెలియకుండానంతవరకే పై చెప్పిన అహంకారమావేశమై ఇట్టి ఆటలకు చోటిత్తురు. వాటి మూలమున పడరాని బాధల నుండి తద్వారా సత్యమును కనుగొనుటకు ప్రయత్నించి క్రమక్రమేణా భూషణలోనికి కాలెడుదురు.
Whoever it may be it an enlightened person or even an avatar, no one is exempt from blame and slander. What is the reason? Truth does not bow down to anything. One gets affected by such drama only till the time, clouded by his ego, one has not understood the truth. This drama puts one through unbearable suffering, resulting in the person striving to understand the truth, and eventually he becomes the subject of praise.
So here Swami is saying that no one is exempt from blame and infamy. What are your thoughts on this, sir?
Well, that is a very fact, because Swami, he has himself said that your test is my taste. He will not leave anyone till we reach the highest. And from the ultimate angle, when you realize, it becomes like a drama, continuous drama. I don't know whether straight away I can share one experience.
Sure, please.
Before even you give your observations. I was a small boy, about 7-8 years old. My grandfather used to be very fond of me. We used to go together for a walk in the evenings. One of the nights, my uncle, father's youngest brother, he was more like a friend to me. He took me to a movie, last show, 9 to 12 p.m. In the night. When we came back, we had to ask our grandfather to open the door for us in the house. Grandfather did not say anything to me, but he scolded my uncle. Next day, as usual, I used to be with my grandfather. So he very lovingly told me that, why do you want to go? Because those days, people used to consider cinema also as a natak.
Okay.
So he said that, why do you go for natak? I didn't say anything, naturally for entertainment. He said, can't you see, whole world is a natak.
Oh my God. Oh.
So I, at that time, I didn't appreciate, in fact. But he gave one more spiritual dose. He said, what is the meaning of natak? Na atak. You should not get caught in this world.
Atak nahi jana hai.
Atak nahi jana.
Wow.
I said, well, that was something striking to me. Now, years later, it was 1988, in Trai Bindavan, suddenly Swami asked that, what you people do? It was a Sunday, so he was trying to catch our guiders that you should not see TV. So he straight away asked me, he is antaryami, he knows I don't watch television, and even then he directly asked me that, do you watch TV? I said, nahi Swami, no. He said, no? Hey, look into my eyes and tell me, do you watch TV or not? Now, I know Bhagavan is antaryami. He knows everything. In spite of that, he's insisting. And he's asking me whether I watch TV. So I was quiet, thinking, why is he asking? Flash came back to my mind of childhood interaction with my grandfather. Then I said, Swamiji, yes, I see TV. The whole world I see is a TV. No, first I said, yes, Swami, I see TV. Swami told all the other people there in Trai Bindavan, see, dekho, dekho, now he's come out with the truth. I told you, therefore I asked him. I said, Swamiji, I thought I'm speaking some highest philosophy. Swamiji, whole world is television, it's going on, I see it.
Wow.
Then I was praising myself that, oh, there's a beautiful answer. Swami sternly again looked at me and he said, hey, why do you switch on the TV? Okay. Now, I was lost. In fact, in my mind, I couldn't say openly to Swamiji, but in words, but in my mind I said, Swamiji, switch is in your hand, not in my hand. You have kept it on. Then he said, so, the question in my mind was, where is the switch? Who is operating, Swami? Then Swami gave the reply, not the question in words, but in mind. He gives a reply that whenever you have some attachment in the world, is switching on the TV. Let the TV go on. It doesn't affect you. It shouldn't affect you. Moment you show some interest in somewhere, TV for you starts. Wow. That is a wonderful definition Bhagavan gave. Wow. So we have to come to that level where we will also participate in the show, remembering that we have to do everything selflessly and in a detached manner.
Wow.
When you say drama, it came to me striking that experience, interaction with Bhagavan.
Most beautiful. In fact, it's what Swami says is that all great people, and including avatars,
yes,
they cannot, you know, won't use the word escape because for them it makes no difference.
Yes,
they are subject to, yes, criticism and slander. In fact, there is a very interesting anecdote narrated by a very old time devotee of Swami from the Venkatagiri family.
Yes,
and they were a royal family, and they had basically come to Swami in the 40s. And so they said that during the Dashara time, they would be carrying Swami on the palanquin.
Yes.
And they will be going. And he said, what Jesus Christ faced in his life, we think that Jesus Christ was crucified. We think that people kind of criticized him. That was nothing compared to what Swami faced.
Oh my God.
Nothing. And he says, right from the 40s, simple people from the village who cannot tell blue from black, you know, very simple folk, they used to criticize Swami. And he was telling, as they were holding the palanquin and going, the villagers standing on the road, they used to stand and mock at Swami.
Oh my
they
God.
Used to laugh, and they used to actually spit on the road. But Swami is only blessing. Swami is smiling. He's beaming. Nothing affects him. He's so happy. He's just looking at everybody and smiling and blessing. This gentleman was saying, because they are from the royal family, he said, I had a license to shoot. I had a license to shoot. I was thinking, where is my gun? He was so perturbed.
Mm.
But Swami, absolutely nothing. All the time smiling. All the time blissful. And in fact, he would bless them also. Just as the palanquin, yes, would go, he would bless.
Yes. Wow.
Everybody.
In fact, I was reminded, as you were speaking of that letter that Swami wrote in 1947.
Mm.
In that, Swami very clearly mentions also about this. Actually, Professor Venkatraman retranslated it.
Right.
And here, Swami says, it is the fruit-laden tree that is pelted with stones.
Right.
And Swami says, that is to be expected.
Yes.
And Swami says, likewise, this world too is a mixture of the good and the bad. Indeed, a world without such dichotomy is not possible.
Correct.
And Swami says that it is a pity that triggered by spiritual ignorance, people develop undesirable qualities like desires, lust, anger, attachment, jealousy, and it is because of these qualities that, you know, they start to say all these sorts of things. Because of this ignorance, we should not be swayed by such people and copy them. And Swami goes on, I mean, to say how the Mahatmas are always, Mahatmas don't have a code of conduct. Swami says, they are always above all these things. And of course, it's a very, very powerful letter. Swami says, you should not pay attention to what people say about me. And Mahatmas neither become great nor get diminished by the opinions expressed by others.
Wow.
And Swami, of course, he goes on to then narrate about what is true bhakti. And he says, true bhakti demands rising far above both the good and the bad, treating them as alike. I mean, that was, I mean, way back in 1947, when all these things are going on,
exactly.
What you mentioned.
Exactly.
In fact, quite recently, yes, you're talking about 47, I'm talking in 90s.
Yes.
Again, shall I narrate one interaction?
Yeah, please. We are hungry for them, those interactions.
It just comes to me appropriately.
Yes.
Once it so happened that boys were asking Swami something. The Swami, please talk to us this. Naturally, boys would need the interaction. It was the MBA boys group come for industrial tour and the summer project. I was with them. So I was also pleading to Bhagawan that Swami, please talk to us. Then he said, see, what can I do? They don't have prapti.
Hmm.
So I was quiet. Then he said, where did you go? Which company did you go to see them today? I said, Swamiji, I didn't go today. because I had to withdraw money from the bank. Bank opens at 10:30. Many boys had given checks to be encashed. So I remained here. I went only later on in the afternoon, few companies. Then Swami said, how did you get money from the bank? I said, Swami gave a check. Hey, give him back check, you get money. Swami, naturally they must be having balance, no? He said, there are, Swami is teaching me banking. he said, there are three ways to get money from the bank.
Hmm.
I said, Swami, what are those three ways? He said, you should have a balance, current, some money in the bank. Or you should have some fixed deposit. Against that, you can withdraw money.
Yes.
And third way is to, if somebody stands guarantee.
Yes.
Mm.
So that way also you can get the money. And I am a spiritual bank balance. You are asking for your boys to give them their spiritual wealth. What have they done now? What have they been doing in the past? So they have no current balance, no past bank balance, spiritual bank balance. And their parents are you gurus. You are not given any recommendation guarantee that if I give them, you will stand by them. Then I was lost. Suddenly thought occurred to me, Swamiji, there is a fourth way to get money from the bank. What is that? Swamiji, sometime we can get overdraft from the bank. He said, Are what? What type of a teacher you are? If the student passing marks 50, if he gets 5 marks, will you give him 45 as a grace mark?
Oh, beautiful.
If he gets 47, 48, then you can give 2-3 marks as a grace.
Hmm.
So, I am not like that, sir. But Swami, they have been praying so much. That is all part-time devotion. Now, here comes the revelation of divine secrets. This is all part-time devotion. And they spend some time, put efforts, accordingly I give them. How many types of workers you had previously when you were working in company? I said, Swamiji, basically two types. One full-time, another part-time. What were you giving to the part-time workers? I said, Swamiji, whatever number of hours they had put, accordingly we give them wages. And to the full-time workers, Swamiji, not only the monthly salary, but TA, DA, and pension, and see, I'm also like that. Part-time devotion, you get benefit part-time. Whatever you are praying for.
Wages.
Wages, like wages. Full-time devotion, not only you will get the full salary, you will get like a TA, DA, he said, nearness, dearness along.
Oh, wow.
So you will get the pension, which will be helpful to you, not only this birth, but hereafter also.
Wow.
And see, full-time devotion is easier than part-time. I said, Swamiji, the part-time devotion itself consumes so much of our time, and you said full-time devotion, how can we have full-time on that? He said, it's easier. I said, please, Swami, please reveal. He said, I have my own yardsticks of devotion. Swami, what is full-time devotion? Maintaining equanimity.
Oh.
Under all the circumstances, at all the times, is full-time devotion. Isn't it very easy? You have nothing to do. Just maintain equanimity. In my mind, I said, Swami, you are very, very clever, Swami. How can you maintain full-time equanimity all the time under all the circumstances? So, that is a question mark. Swami, when you talked about bhakti, yes, full-time devotion,
yes,
it's a... how it will come, that of course we will discuss during the course of our together here.
In fact, as you are mentioning this, when we were talking about avatars and Mahapurushas also facing criticism.
Mm.
It was a very interesting topic for the afternoon satsang. They were having a discussion on how do we react to people if they are criticizing Swami. See, now suppose somebody is criticizing Swami, speaking against Swami.
Yes.
How do we react? Why should we react? What we should react? Of course, Swami has himself said, you have your beliefs, he is your God. Yes. I have my God, you have your God. But in the process of trying to find an answer, we actually went into some of Swami's literature. And the most amazing part is, nowhere has Swami said how we should react to the other person. So instead, Swami questions the person who is trying to ask the question. He says, who are you to defend me?
Wow.
He is not telling how we should react to the person.
Mm.
He is asking you, who are you? What do you know about me?
Correct.
That you want to defend me?
Defend me.
Wow.
He is asking the devotee. He's not even that much he is worried about the person criticizing.
Right.
He's not even thinking that person is criticizing. He's asking the devotee, what do you know about me? You praise me when your prayers are answered and you blame me when your prayers are not answered. Your faith has not become unshakable.
Wow. On this point, some episode comes to my mind, because youngsters when nowadays, of course at that time also, some students may not have complete faith in Bhagavan.
Yes.
So, I used to find some very tricky questions from the students.
Mm-hmm.
And they will not just simply accept Swami as avatar. So, directly ask Bhagavan, Swami, how do I convince such boys? Then he said, see, you should never tell them your faith, your conviction. Straight away they will not accept. Then what do I do, Swami? He said, you bring them to the facts, what Swami is doing. Such selfless seva in the society.
Yes.
Ceaseless. They will see themselves, then they will realize how much selfless the person is, top to toe. And then you tell them, such a person, if he is advising you to do something or don't do something, is it not our duty to put into action, because he doesn't gain or lose anything. He always thinks of good for us. So start with that way, and gradually the person will know what Swami stands for.
Wow. In fact, I was just reminded of once when Ted Henry, I think he asked Swami, what is your message? He was returning to the US. Now how should I, you know, talk about you, Swami, there? And Swami says, you don't have to tell anything about me.
Mm-hmm.
Swami says that if you want, you can talk about my work. I will introduce myself to them.
Very good.
So you can only talk about, as you said, we can only talk about if someone is interested about his work. But how Swami will introduce himself to him is left to Swami and that person, and that person's level of maturity, spiritual development, and the state of his mind and heart and everything.
Another point comes to my mind. Once four MBA research scholars, they were doing PhD under a senior professor, and they wanted to collect data from Mumbai. So one devotee of Bhagavan said, Swami, please let me host these four students and one professor in Mumbai. I'll take care of them. Swami, please give me an opportunity. Swami agreed. Now, boys, Swami gave them lots of things just to give the flavor of the story. Even the computer bag and this and that, laptop bag. So, one boy, he, while taking namaskar from Bhagavan, Swami said, please, Swami, bless us that not only we collect data, our conduct also should be good, because people will watch us, they will observe whatever we do, and we should not commit an error. Swami said, yes, don't commit an error. No, Swami, you please bless us, because directly it will be reflected on your name, that if we do something wrong, they will think that, oh, Swami's a student, then it will reflect, it may give a bad name to Swami. Please, Swami, we don't want to be in such a situation. Swami sternly told him, "Hey, you think my name and fame depends upon your behavior?"
I said, "Wonderful, Swami. This boy was given a nice one. Whatever you do, it'll be reflected in Swami's glory."
So that is true. We cannot estimate how Swami reaches to individual's heart.
I think that is pretty a strong message.
Oh yes.
We think no, we have to live up to, we have to keep up Swami's name.
In fact, not even reaching Swami's or tarnishing Swami's name, as simple as, you know, we used to sing that song. Yes. Oma, Meroya tu roi. Swami says, "No, I don't cry." You have seen that several times. Yes. Then, you know, in that song,
yes.
If I smile, you smile. If I cry, you cry. Swami says, "No, I don't cry."
I don't cry.
The composer, and every time they sing Meroya tu roi, Swami says, "No, I don't cry." Means, mm-hmm. You know, what you do is for your betterment, yes. Or it's your life. If you fall in line with what I'm saying, it's good for you. That's all.
Yes.
It doesn't...
Swami has given guidelines, you know, that follow the master,
yes.
Your conscience. And face the devils, which we are talking about,
yes.
That everybody faces odds, difficulties.
Yes.
It is bound to be there. Then our duty is to go on fighting till end and finish the game.
Yes.
So, yes, clear cut given the guidelines. I don't know whether to divert a little bit relating to my personal life.
Yeah, please.
When I joined the company way back in 1970, after finishing my chemical engineering, within few months, the department's division manager, he was leaving and he was to be replaced with, because my company I was working was Royal Dutch Shell Group collaboration, and a Dutchman was leaving the company, and Indian was supposed to replace. Excuse me. My immediate boss, he wanted to throw a party. So he invited all of us in his house, and a corporate culture party was open with all the non-veg and cocktail drinks and things like that.
Mm.
Now, I had my own principles. I didn't want to touch even alcohol. So I was happy with pineapple juice. Then he said that, "Come on, Bhagya, you are not a boy now, no more a student. You are joining a company. See, people, those who join even later than you, they are drinking. What is there?" I said, "No, sir, I don't drink. It's against my principle." "Okay, don't drink this. Take a glass of beer." Beer is, after all, barley water. Because I was laughing as your response is. Then he said, "Hey, you have done only chemical engineering. I have done MSc and chemical engineering, MSc in organic chemistry. So I know that barley water, and it is distilled water, it will flush your kidney. I know much more than you." I said, "No, sir, it contains alcohol, some 7-8% alcohol. So I don't want it." "Hey, your body produces alcohol. Come on." He was coaxing me. I said, "Body, whatever it needs alcohol, it will produce. But why should I take external alcohol?" So I was holding on to that. He felt a little bit insulted.
Mm-hmm.
Because after all, he is my boss.
Yeah.
And he is commanding. Now, he left me. Then the boss's boss, who was supposed to leave on in his honor, this party was thrown. He asked me, "You don't drink?" He was from Netherlands. I said, "No, sir, I don't drink." He said, "Okay, that's all right. You are happy, I'm happy. The company is more important." So he was settled. But this gentleman, my immediate boss, Indian boss, he again came to me. Now he started tempting me in a different way. He said, "Come on, Bhagya, you are not yet confirmed. It takes 1 year to get your confirmation letter.
Mm-hmm.
You just have one sip. I assure you, today is Friday. Monday, I'll give you the confirmation letter."
My wow. God, directly?
Direct.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Because I...
How many months were you in the company?
It was about 4 months over by that time when this happened. So still I said, no.
It means you didn't even have a second thought.
No. I said, no, sir. I just laughed. Sir, come on, sir. No, I will hold on to my... Then, again after some time, I could see his anger increasing. His ego was being pricked.
Yes.
He said, come on, Bhagya. You would never get this opportunity again. You have just little bit. Not only I'll confirm you, I'll promote you.
Wow.
He was really high, I think.
Yeah, maybe. I what has happened to him? He had few doses. So, then I couldn't resist myself. I said, sir, you were one of the persons who interviewed me for this department as a candidate when I came. You never told me what are your promotion policies. Had I known this is your promotion policy, I would have never accepted this job. Then he was taken aback. He really looked at me as if he's going to pounce on me or eat me up. He left the situation, point, and went away. Moment I finished this, I knew that he could probably throw me out, that you're not needed, you're not fit. Yeah. There comes his wife. Young lady in 40s, I was in 20s. So she comes and hugs me. She said, well done, Mr. Bhagya, well done, well done. I say, what has happened? See, today I brought the special juices I have prepared. This is pineapple, this is anar, what is that, the pomegranate.
Yeah.
And you try this, it's so nice, so delicious. We had, then after the party was over, she told me very personally that don't worry, I know his habit. I don't know why he converts non-drinkers into drinkers, and he doesn't understand. We have two small daughters, they will grow, and I don't know what type of people, boys I will get. But let me tell you that I am very happy with your behavior. Here is my personal telephone number. That time there were no cell phones. Here is my personal telephone number. If he misbehaves with you in the organization, you give me a phone call. I will set him right.
Where would you go from me? So you had the number of the boss's boss.
So I thought, there's a modern show and Nishakti Parvati. Let us finish. Now, coming to
did you ever had to use that hot number?
Coming to the lesson.
Wow.
That you hold on to your principle.
Yes.
Guidelines given by Bhagwan. How you will finish the game, you never know. You know, after that, what happened? Many more parties continued like this. But, on the contrary, they would make me in charge of the very special imported alcohol drinks. I should be in charge and see that it is given in limited amount. The other employees don't take too much. They accepted me. That he never drinks. You have to fight till end and finish the game.
Amazing, sir.
Really,
most amazing.
I feel that Swami's teachings are valid not only on a spiritual path, even day-to-day life.
Wow. I think that is when the teachings really beautify our life. You see the beauty of his teachings only when you apply them in your real life, isn't it, sir?
As you are narrating, this kind of conviction in the message, and when anything happens to you, sir, like, we have to have that complete surrender that this is Swami's will.
Absolutely.
That, I think that will come only when you have done your best in following, living up to his principles,
right,
to his teachings.
Because Swami always says, see, right is right even if nobody follows it.
Yes.
Wrong is wrong even if everybody is doing. So we cannot say just like, traffic signals. Moment it turns yellow, people on the contrary accelerated it, thinking that we can pass through this point. But it's wrong. Yellow light is indicated that you apply your brake before it becomes red. So it's wrong even if many people do it. Yes. That's what Swami says.
Just because many people do it, it doesn't become right.
Become right. Correct.
Yes. Yes. Wow. Phenomenal. In fact, I was just reminded of a little interaction that I had with a school student. Ganesh Chaturthi is around the corner, and I remember talking to some of the children of the higher secondary school, the children, you know, who look after the Ganesha statue, and all round the year they do the Abhishekam and the decoration and puja, daily worship. And as I was talking to some of them, it was really fantastic how each student had developed such a special bond with Ganesha. Each person was saying that, No, Ganesha is my friend. Ganesha is like my brother. Mm-hmm. That's the kind of bond that developed. And each student had a story about how Ganesha had transformed them.
Wow.
So someone started narrating the story of how when he joined in 11th class, his marks were not so good and he was very scared of the schedule and everything. But somehow in 12th class, he takes up this chance of doing the seva of serving Ganesha. And then, because you spend a lot of time with Ganesha, so you begin to speak to Ganesha. And as you begin to speak and share, then you develop this bond. And slowly he says that, you know, after that, whenever I came to him, I used to feel light. Wow. I used to feel so much relieved. I used to feel, after that, you know, so energized. Slowly he filled me with so much confidence that after that, you know, he became the first ranker in the class.
Wow.
And he continued.
Oh.
He continued. Only in the first unit test, he did not get first rank. He was very low. But the moment I started worshipping Ganesha, so till the end, he was always first in class. And it is like similar story. And another boy had a very interesting story. He said that, you know, earlier I used to be very perturbed about my results, my ranks. But after I started serving Ganesha, I came to know that Ganesha is not interested in the results. Ganesha is interested only in the efforts.
Wow.
So he says, now nothing bothers me because I know that my Ganesha will judge me only on my efforts.
Wonderful. What and a wonderful conviction.
Yeah, and if I put my efforts and Ganesha knows what effort I have put in, and if I surrender, then why do I have to bother? In fact, this boy says, earlier he used to be so tensed about examinations that he used to take paracetamol tablets before examinations. So much tension. So I was not able to hold myself. He came from an outside environment and he was saying that I had this much tension that I should always pop these pills and I didn't know what to do. But once he started worshipping Ganesha, he used to go and, you know, slowly he started talking to Ganesha, making Ganesha his brother. And then he says, the only thing I should do is before examination, I should go to Ganesha and I would just pour out everything. And I would say, Ganesha, we are going to do this together. You know, we are going to write this examination together. And he says, so I know. So if I'm stuck, he will help me. And if he doesn't help me, that's fine. All I have to do is I have to put in my efforts. So I work hard, I put in my efforts. After that, whatever happens is Ganesha's will.
Beautiful way to teach equanimity, which Bhagwan is telling. And no wonder, I have seen many alumni, whenever they come,
yes,
they will invariably go to Ganesha, yeah, come to the institute, go, yeah, and hug him, because, yeah, he is a very dearest friend,
yes,
of every student.
Every student. In fact, as I was reading this also, where Swami says that even an avatar, no one is exempt from blame and slander.
Yeah.
I was just reminded of how during Ganesh Chaturthi, if you remember, sir, every Ganesh Chaturthi, you have the episode narrated of how Krishna was accused of killing Prasena, the Satrajit's brother. That whole story of the Ganesha Katha is all about Krishna being blamed for an act that he had not done of killing Prasena. That is the whole story of Ganesh Chaturthi, actually. Tomorrow is Ganesh Chaturthi. But I think that is again a very beautiful pointer to how no one is exempt. But Krishna goes out, fights. You know, we have the whole story how Krishna goes out, fights with Jambavan and then establishes the truth. And then Swami says, so that here, that's what Swami is saying, that, you know, there could be suffering, but ultimately you become the subject of praise. And sure, after that, Krishna liberates everyone. Krishna grants such a beautiful boon. He brings back the gem. I mean, that's I felt it is such a beautiful tale emphasizing everything that Swami has said here about how no one is exempt, but the suffering is what ultimately leads you to greater glory. So, shall we move on to the next paragraph?
I think so. Yes. Yeah. There are good points in the next paragraph as well.
Yeah.
Please, let us listen to that.
దౌర్బల్యమే కారణం. కాన అట్టి వారుల యోచనలకు చోటివ్వక, వారితో వాదమున తగులక, అట్టి వారుండు స్థానమును వదిలి దూరము పోయి వారల సాంగత్యమును మాని నీ మనసున పరమాత్మయందు సంపూర్ణానందము చిక్కునంత వరకు అందులకు తోడైనట్టి భగవద్భక్తుల సంఘమునే చేరుచుండు, భగవద్గ్రంథములే చదువుచుండు. వారి వలన క్రమేణా నీ ఆనందము ధైర్యము అధికమై అనుభవంలోకి వచ్చును. అనుభవించిన తరువాత ఎట్టివారితో చేరినను యథార్థమును వీడక, పరులకు చిక్కక, మూర్ఖులకు భగవత్తత్వము తెలియని వారికి సత్యము చూపుటకు ప్రయత్నింతు.
The reason for this drama is the weakness arising out of lack of discrimination. Thus, without giving any weightage to the ideas of such people and avoiding entering into an argument with them, one should move away from the places where such elements reside and give up their company. Until one's mind is filled with the bliss of the divine, one should be in the company of the godly. One should read only the books related to the divine. This will eventually lead you to more courage and bliss and ensure that they become actual experiences. Once you experience this, no matter with whom you're associated with, you will not be influenced by others and hold on to your ultimate truth and will be in a position to guide the foolish and those who are ignorant of the divine, thus enabling them to envision the truth.
Wow. I think we already narrated one such experience. It's very true that Swami's drama is unique. And initially you feel when somebody is not following the guidelines of Swami, how to deal with them, how to tell them. Swami deals always with love, but I didn't have that capacity to show my love, selfless love, even to such people. Once it so happened that in our MBA there was a workshop, and some people were invited to explain what is marketing, particularly the advertisement, how to advertise effectively. So it is a normal thing outside. They brought certain say small clippings where normal way how the advertisement is done. I requested them that in our culture this is not the way it should be shown to our MBA students.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow it went on to my dissatisfaction, but a thought came to me that we feel that Swami is present, and in his physical presence, how can we do that? We touch Swami's chair and we feel that he is there, but physically when he is not there, we behave differently. So that question I had in my mind. In darshan time, I saw same evening Swami pouring more love to those people who had come, and even to the people those were in charge of this workshop. And now it was my turn to receive Swami's darshan. He came closer. In my mind this was a question. Then Swami understood. He immediately told me, what? So I can't tell, so Swami, how can you pour love to such people? But instead I put a question. Swamiji, how to develop the patience of avatar? So Swami looked at me, didn't give the answer, went few steps ahead, looked back, and he said, that is my nature, Rah. You can't develop that patience.
Oh my
but
God.
But then question remained in my mind, that how to deal with such people? Then later on, after a few months, Swamiji was going to Vrindavan. Suddenly he came to our institute fire hall, the prayer hall, and the announcement was made that all the students and teachers can come, and Swami wants to give a darshan before he goes to Vrindavan. We were very happy, we rushed there. Then Swami, very uniquely, spontaneously said, any spiritual question from students? The announcement was made, Swami told senior person to announce it in English. And Swami was waiting that anybody has any question, a spiritual question, right now Swami will give the answer. That was a wonderful offer.
Wow.
Now, few seconds pass, nobody is raising hand. In my mind, already I had that I have to ask some question to Swami, so I raised my hand. Then Swamiji said, immediately, before even listening to my question, are you a student or a teacher? Because this offer was for the students. Then I said, Swamiji, in Swami's presence, we are all students. So Swami was very happy with the reply. He said, what is your question? I said, Swamiji, when we deal with the people, those who behave differently in your physical presence and another way in your physical absence, how to deal with such people? So Swami was quiet. Then he asked, any other question? Then one boy, getting courage, he raised his hand. Swami said, what's your question? He said, Swami, how to control mind? Swami said, hey, that is KG class question. Teachers will tell you the answer. Because now focus was on something different. Swami, then there were no other questions. Swami started. He gave a wonderful discourse. Directly, he came to the point. He said, there are three types of people in the world. One, those who are awake. Any point of time in the world, some people will be awake. And some people are sleeping. Deep sleep. And third category of people are, Swami said something, the translator translated, that those who are awake but pretending to be asleep, you cannot wake them up. Swami said, no. Swami again said differently in Telugu. Translator translated the same thing. Swami said, kadu, kadu. Swami himself stated in English, third category of people are those who are sleeping but pretending to be awake. Even I got a jolt. So then he said, see, Bhagya, there are three types of people from the spiritual angle. One, those who are awakened, fully awakened. You don't have to do anything with them. Because my question was, how to deal with such people? So you don't have to do anything with them. Second category of people, those who are sleeping. That means they are in ignorance. It is the duty of those who are awakened to wake them up. Third category of people are those who pretend that they are awake, but actually they are sleeping. That means they are ignorant, but they say, I know everything, I know everything. Then Swami said, leave them alone.
Oh.
Don't waste your time on them. In fact, very strong statement Bhagavan made, even God cannot help them. Because they have a spiritual pride.
Spiritual pride.
So, we have to be careful. Before we tell somebody, we have to be awakened. Then, and just pretending that I am awake, it's a dangerous thing. So, on this point, the story came to my mind, therefore I thought I must tell to the listeners that how to deal, because invariably this question comes, not in institute, in organizations, in society, how to do with that? People, in very loose term, hypocrites. Swami said, no. You can't change them. You have a right over yourself.
You have to see, you have to keep questioning yourself, how awakened I am.
That's it. In fact, sometime I asked Swami, that Swami, how do we express gratitude to you? You have been giving so much to us, everybody, school, children, college, society. He said, you don't have to do anything. Set an ideal example in the society. That's all is the expression of gratitude.
Yes.
Wow. I think that is what always Bhagwan has mentioned, that the greatest ambassador of his message or his teaching is every person who lives his message.
Yeah.
That's all.
And he has also said that you have to judge the person. Does he have unity between thought, word and deed?
Indeed, yes.
If he doesn't have, it becomes, he says, duratma.
Yes.
Run away from such people. That's what the para also said.
And Swami is also telling here, I mean, little ways of how you can walk on the path of being aware. He says, try to fill yourself with the bliss of the divine, be in the company of the godly, read books related to God. And that is what will eventually give you more courage and more bliss. And that will ensure that those, whatever you read, become actual experiences.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On that also, I had to ask one question to Swami. Do I have time to?
Yeah, sure. Yes. Yeah. We have 5 minutes.
Once I asked Swamiji, Swamiji, I know you are avatar. You are omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent. But at times, we get engaged in our activities. Swami, why do I forget that you are all the time with me? See, when Swamiji is physically present, we will never do anything wrong. That was my, question. That if I continuously remember that he is walking with me, he is inside me, outside me, so I will be prevented to do anything. Even thinking will not go wrong way.
Yes.
So, Swami, why do I forget many a times? Then Swami will not give the answer just like this, unless we are prepared to receive the answer. He said, what? You think that you are greater than Vashishta and Vishwamitra? I said, Swamiji, no, I'm not comparing myself with them. Even they forgot who Rama was. You think you are greater than them? I said, no, Swami, please, Swami. I am not talking comparing myself with them. I'm talking about myself. Please help me. How do I remember continuously that you are avatar, you are with me? Then he said, see, it's because of vasanas you bring in the past births, of the past births. Swami, but now what do I do at the moment? He said, the fundamental thing is, pay attention to the food.
Mm-hmm.
What food you taken, it should be sattvic. He said, any food we take, the grosser part goes as a waste. Subtler part becomes muscles and blood, and subtlest part becomes your thoughts, mind. So, be careful. You should always take sattvic food. Sattvic doesn't consist of only fruits and vegetables and milk and curd. It has some the dimensions, how the ingredients have been procured.
Yes.
That will determine the quality of the sattvic food. Then, who prepares the food? Who cooks? How the food is served? Who is serving you? What are the environments? What are the thoughts at that time? Everything will determine your mind. Because you want to have a strong will, which will not make you forget the presence of God. Then he said, by doing that, your will become God's will. And then he said, food is not just from the mouth. What you take in is not that important. More important is what you bring out from the mouth, what words you speak.
Mm-hmm.
And then he said, food is input goes through other senses also. What you are watching through eyes, mm-hmm. what you hear, what you smell, what you touch, what you taste. All these things will give input to your mind. Control them. My grace is always there. Because I was insisting, Swami, I need your grace to stop this and my will should be strong. He said, my grace is equally on everyone. You people waste it through these outlets. You block these outlets. What are the people you meet? What are the books you read? What are the environments you live in? What air you breathe in? All these things will determine. You stop the outlets, these block these outlets, then my grace will become, or your will be equal to my grace. Do that and then you see what the effect is. That is the way Swami has shown that how to improve or the spiritual component. And all the time taking the name and the form, keeping the form in mind, remembering His glory will also help us avoiding doing anything bad. On that also, one student very openly told me, he had some bad habits. Okay, young age, they could be having any ideas in the past. So he once confessed, Swami, in the interview room, after the distribution of prasadam. Those days, prasadam distribution used to be an honor. Swami will pick up a few boys, you go and distribute prasadam. After that, they would keep the empty vessels in Swami's interview room. Invariably, Swami will talk to them, it'll be a mini interview, and give them vibhuti prasadam. So one boy, he was reluctant to come out of the interview room. And then Swami said, what? Boy said, Swami, I have bad habit. He said, then remember my name. Why do you enter into this situation? At that time, you remember my name. Then he said, okay, Swami. After some time, again Swami gave him a chance. Again, he told Swami, Swami, I'm not able to get rid of my bad habits. Then Swami said, did you take my name? Yes, Swami, your name has no power. Students are very frank with Bhagwan inside the interview room. But boy, he told me everything, all detail. So, Swami said, hey, don't blame Swami's name. At that moment, did you remember me? He said, Swami, after I committed error, then I remember. He said, then Swami explained, all these instincts come to our mind, they last only 5.5 seconds. It's a peak.
Oh.
If you are able to control those 5.5 seconds, then you will see yourself, oh, what an error was I going to commit. So, boy understood. He put into practice Namasmaran, and then he was out from this problem.
Wow.
So that is the power of God's name.
How powerful, sir. Amazing.
It is very important.
Phenomenal.
We must learn from these students' experiences and go ahead in our life. Swami has guided every point in our life.
I mean, only when God comes down in a human form do you have this opportunity of such frank interactions.
You can't get such things in spiritual books or anywhere.
Yes. Wow. Amazing. We really need to hear so much more from you. I know the clock is ticking away, so we have to bring this to a close. But I only pray to Bhagwan that we have more opportunities to listen from you, sir. It's been a very, very long association that you have had with Bhagwan, and someone who always asks for me these questions, you know. And in fact, today when I was a student, I never had these kind of questions in my mind. I was so much focused on the studies and, you know, getting chances with Swami. No,
I think it is also all His grace.
But
nobody can take pride in it. No.
Yes.
He can pick up anybody as an instrument. It's not that the knowledge was given only to Arjuna. It was for the whole world, which we are enjoying even now.
Yes, absolutely. Wonderful, sir. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you so much, in fact, and giving me an opportunity to share so much Lord has given. It is for all of us.
Yes, wonderful. Praying to Swami that we dwell on this stream of His love, Prema Vahini, listening to whatever He has directly said and then taking inspiration from that and practicing that in our lives so that we can also experience that bliss that Swami is saying. It will lead you to actual experience. It will lead us to actual experiences once we start dwelling on them and once we start becoming serious in practicing them. So dear listeners, with really heartfelt pranams and gratitude to Bhagwan for having sent to the studios today Bhagya sir for this 10th chapter of Prema Vahini, and praying to him that we continue to listen to him more often, listen to what he has said to people who have lived with him, and praying that we take inspiration from that to make our lives more meaningful. We bring this day long Thursday life to a close. Please feel free to write to us about your experiences, about your queries, about your experiments in trying to practice Swami's teachings. We'll be very happy to share whatever you
are also going through, because we learn when we share. Only in sharing and caring is what is life all about. So please, like always, write to listener@radiosai.org. Praying to Bhagwan and offering our gratitude to Him for this beautiful Thursday and this lovely satsang, we bring this day-long Thursday life to a close. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.